This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering, and we start today with Massachusetts Congressman Stephen Lynch. In the last few weeks, Congressman Lynch has been vocal and influential on some pandemic-related issues, from MBTA service cuts to the speed and timing of the Massachusetts reopening. And with a massive infrastructure bill making its way through Congress that could affect us here at home, we wanted to check in with the congressman, both about how he believes we are faring in this pandemic and where else we might see him weigh in. We turn to Massachusetts Congressman Stephen Lynch now. Congressman Lynch, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Good to be with you, Tiziana.
It's great to have you. And Congressman, I kind of want to start with the reopening because it's the gravitational pull that seems to be affecting us and kind of all other things right now. I was surprised to hear you discuss and question the wisdom of launching into phase four over the weekend. It's the second time you've weighed in on a Baker administration choice regarding the pandemic of late. Before I ask you the question, I want to note you also said you trust the governor's overall plan. So let's break that down. So to begin, why are you concerned that the reopening may have been premature?
Well, we've been looking at the data throughout this, and I do give the governor and Mary Lou Sutter, Secretary Sutter's high marks for the way they've handled this generally from the beginning. But they have consistently followed the data. But the data is bouncing around recently. So it looked like there was a trend that would have allowed us to open up at some point. And then the data changed. We had a spike. And so we've noticed that it is highly concentrated in younger people. And so we've also seen an uptick in the number of hospitalizations. So we saw a reversal of sorts in our caseload. And look, everyone has 2020 vision in hindsight, right? So obviously we jumped the gun a little bit. Now, to the same point, however, we are pushing out vaccines much better now than we have been in the past. I think maybe 6 weeks ago, the feds were giving maybe 100 to 130,000 doses of vaccines per week. And I know we're far beyond that now. I think it's something like 300,000 a week at this point, with this latest bump up that we're getting in this week. So, you just hope that the delivery of vaccines, getting them into people's arms and the slow opening of our society and normal patterns of life will sort of converge here so that we have a safe opening.
So building on that, we've talked to public health experts sort of about this neck and neck race between the variants and the rate of vaccination. You have weighed in recently a couple of times now on pandemic reopening. You're still expressing support for the current strategy from the administration. You're watching the data. Is there some threshold, some data threshold, where the infection rates from variants, for example, are outstripping our vaccination, where you would push back hard and do more like what we saw you do with the MBTA, which is call out state government for policy around reopening? You know, is that something we might see you do at some point?
Well, look, the MBTA situation was quite different. We had given the MBTA $2 billion over the last 7 or 8 months. And, with the idea that we would gradually reopen the economy, and public transportation is a key part of that, especially for people in communities that have been struggling. The MBTA had a plan to shut down services in May, June, and July at a point when we thought we should be reopening and that surge that we talked about of vaccines would be hitting the street. So clearly we were on different pages. They reviewed their plan, with $2 billion in hand, and they saw a different approach that would be profitable. So, I'm happy that they changed their plan. It was really, I was just bringing it to their attention, and they were quite receptive. So it wasn't as ugly as people make it sound.
So let's stay on that for a minute. They did change their plan. MBTA General Manager Steve Poftak, since the back and forth couple of weeks ago, has said they're planning to restore pre-pandemic services, quote, as fast as they possibly can, end quote. They've also indicated that in their next budget, they'll plan for pre-pandemic levels of service. We don't know more than that. Are you continuing to be in touch with the MBTA? Have you heard any more specifics from them? And what are you hoping to see in, you know, May, June, July from them?
Well, I would say so far, so good. They immediately reversed the 40 layoffs for the conductors at Keola. So we did hear from those conductors and the unions that represent them. So they are back to work, which is good. We do have regular contact with the bus drivers union as well, the Carmen's union, and they have indicated that things are going well so far. The MBTA has initiated an effort to bring more people onto the payroll because they did experience an attrition rate that was elevated. I think some of the drivers who and employees who were getting close to retirement, I think in the middle of the pandemic, said, "Do I really want to do this?" And so they've had a pretty high attrition rate over there during the pandemic. And so they're trying to bring more people onto the payroll. I think so far, so good. But we do want to make sure that, especially in some of these communities of color, especially that people are relying heavily on mass transit, that as we get to a better point, as the vaccines get out there, people do have the ability to safely return to work and, you know, kids get back in school. And like I said, we get back to a more normal pattern of life.
When we had John a couple of weeks ago and you told us about the back and forth, the meeting that you had with MBTA General Manager Steve Poftak, later in that show, former Massachusetts Secretary of Transportation Jim Aloisi was on, and he remarked that it's rare for members of the congressional delegation to get so hands-on as on something like public transit, which is locally controlled. We understand how high the stakes are in this pandemic reopening. You've expressed some frustration, for example, over the way some of the CARES Act money was spent. Should we expect to see a close watch and a closer hand from the Massachusetts congressional delegation on reopening decisions than we might on other questions of state policy in the coming months?
Well, I could say generally they'll be more intimate involvement, I think, across the delegation. You're right. We all understand how important transportation is, especially within the pandemic. But also generally, I think from an environmental standpoint, having a greener transportation system, from a housing standpoint, providing immediate access to the Boston job base from suburban towns that extend out into central Mass, especially, we could solve a lot of the housing crisis with a good public transportation, rapid transit plan. The other element here is earmarks. So there is a return to congressional earmarking practices, which has to be rooted in the community, but those are requests that come from local communities, cities and towns in Massachusetts and the state that Congress has direct control over. So we've got a bit more leverage now than we used to have. We used to just send the money to the governor and he spent it as he saw fit. Now there'll be local community priorities that'll be part of that mix. And so Congress will have a much more meaningful say in how the money gets spent. So it almost forces.
And it sounds like you're pleased to have that say. I'm sorry.
Yeah. I'm very pleased. Yes, I am. Although, I sat down with the governor and Secretary Pollack at the time to talk about the governor's priorities on transportation. He came down to Washington and sat with me. That's when I was the only member of the Massachusetts delegation on the Transportation Committee. And I was happy to see that his ideas were largely in harmony with those of the members of the delegation. Now we've also had Representative Auchincloss has just joined the Transportation Committee. and Representative Moulton has also joined the Transportation Committee. So we have a pretty strong hand in this transportation bill. And so
let's stay there for a second. Excuse me for interrupting there. I didn't mean to. But you talked about Seth Moulton. He was on the show last week talking about the infrastructure proposal and talking about high-speed rail. You talked about rapid transit a minute ago. Are there other key areas of focus, big priorities for you in terms of Massachusetts infrastructure that you want to see out of that bill?
Well, you know, we're one of the oldest, probably the oldest in the country in terms of rapid transit and our infrastructure, right? We've got some bridges that are very, very old. They've been rehabbed, you know, several times already. And so when you think about climate change, much of my district is heavily impacted because I go from the north end of Boston along the coast all the way down to Scituate. So that coastal front is heavily impacted by climate change, even major parts of the city of Boston. So in this infrastructure bill, we are really targeting, you know, climate change resiliency and also more environmentally friendly construction material use and design. So all of that is absolutely essential to really moving us forward and preparing for the future. So it's a wonderful opportunity, by the way. You know, we've got a president who really understands this and who, you know, he's got an affinity for rail travel himself. I really feel like we have an opportunity here to, this is a moment for us, not only in Massachusetts, but across the country, to really try to make a once in a generation improvement to our infrastructure system and transportation system.
Can you get it passed? Do you think you can get it passed?
Yeah, I believe so. We had a favorable ruling from the Senate parliamentarian. You wouldn't think the Senate parliamentarian would be so important, but she has indicated that we would be able to do this within reconciliation if we had to. That's not our preferred route. We would rather have the cooperation of our Republican colleagues, but you know, sometimes that's been difficult.
Before we let you go, I want to ask you one other question. It's on climate, which you mentioned a moment ago. Specifically, it's about the Weymouth compressor. We learned yesterday there was another unplanned gas release at the Weymouth compressor, third release like it in 8 months. We don't have all the details yet about the cause, the actual quantity of the gas emitted, but you put out a statement this morning. In part, it said, quote, "I have reached out to the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration for more details about this accident, but the only response that will protect nearby residents would be to order the Weymouth compression station to shut down immediately," end quote. Do you believe they will shut it down?
I'm not sure yet. I know, so I've developed a close relationship lately with PHMSA, the Pipelines and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration. They've been up here several times. I've asked them to come up to review this plan. I know they will not be happy as the regulator of this facility. They're spending a lot of time on this. And I have to say the operators here, Enbridge, have completely lost the confidence of all the communities in that area. We keep having these accidents, these emergencies, so these shutdowns. So we're going to go through this again. I'm going to appeal to DOT, Department of Transportation. They also have purview over this and ask them to rethink the siting of this facility. Normally, these compressor stations are you know, located out in the boonies, out in you know, rural areas, more remote from the general population. This compressor station, which we fought for years, is sited in a densely settled residential area, and so that's why every time there's an accident at this plant, at this compressor station, there's a major confrontation going on and the regulators are involved. So I'm hoping that they realize the mistake here is the siting decision and decide to move it elsewhere.
Massachusetts Congressman Stephen Lynch, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Tiziana. Always good to join you. Thank you.